The Easter Sunday massacre occurred on Easter Sunday, March 30, 1975, when 41-year-old James U. Rupert fatally shot 11 members of his own family in his mother's home on 635 Minor Avenue in Hamilton, Ohio. Rupert was tried and found guilty on 2 counts of aggravated murder, but not guilty on the other 9 counts by reason of insanity. He received 2 life sentences to be served consecutively at Allen Correctional Institution in Lima, Ohio, and the Southern Ohio Correctional Facility in Lucasville, Ohio. He was moved to Franklin Medical Center in Columbus, Ohio in 2019 because of his declining health. James Rupert died of natural causes on June 4, 2022, while incarcerated at Franklin Medical Center. Rupert was 88 at the time of his death. It is the deadliest shooting by a lone perpetrator in the state of Ohio. So James Urban Rupert was reported to have had a troubled life. His mother Charity had told him that she would have preferred for him to have been a daughter as her second child. His father Leonard also had a violent temper and had little affection for his 2 sons. Leonard died in 1946 from tuberculosis at the age of 37, when James and his brother Leonard Jr. were aged 12 and 14 respectively. Leonard Jr. became the father figure of the family and constantly picked on James during their upbringing, often taunting him. At 16, James was so dissatisfied with his home life that he ran away and attempted to commit suicide by hanging himself with a sheet. He was unsuccessful and returned home. As an adult, Rupert stood 5'6" and weighed 135 pounds. He was described as a modest, bookish, and helpful man who was unremarkable and quiet. In addition, he had no police record. By 1975, Rupert was envious of his older brother's successful job and family. Rupert himself had dropped out of college after 2 years, then trained as a draftsman. Although by 1975 he was unemployed, was unmarried, and was still living at home with his mother. In contrast, his older brother Leonard Jr. had earned a degree in electrical engineering, had married one of the few girlfriends James had ever had, owned his own home in the city of Fairfield, and had 8 children. Charity was frustrated with James's inability to hold a steady job and his constant drinking. She had threatened to evict him from her home on a number of occasions. James also owed his mother and brother money, having lost much of what little cash he had in the 1973-74 stock market crash. A month before the massacre, James inquired about silencers for his weapons while purchasing ammunition. His behavior deteriorated, caused by a deep depression as he neared the breaking point. On March 29, 1975, his 41st birthday, witnesses had seen him engage in target practice, shooting tin cans with his .22 pistol and .22 rifle along the banks of the Great Miami River in Hamilton. The night before the murders, James went out, as he did nearly every night. At the 19-hole cocktail lounge, he talked with an employee, 28-year-old Wanda Bishop. She would later state that James told her he was frustrated with his mother's demands on him and his impending eviction, and that he needed to solve the problem. According to Bishop, Rupert stated that his mother had complained that if he could afford to buy beer 7 nights a week, he could afford to pay rent. Rupert left the bar at 11 p.m. that night and later returned. When Bishop asked if he had solved the problem, he replied, "No, not yet." James stayed at the bar until it closed at 2:30 a.m. On Easter Sunday, March 30, 1975, Rupert's brother Leonard Jr. and his wife Alma bought their 8 children, ranging in age from 4 to 17, to Easter dinner at their house located at 635 Minor Avenue. Rupert stayed upstairs, sleeping off a night of drinking, while the other family members participated in an Easter egg hunt on the front lawn. At around 4 p.m, James woke up, loaded a .357 Magnum, 2 .22 caliber handguns and a rifle, then went downstairs. Charity was preparing sloppy joes in the kitchen, in the company of Leonard Jr. and Alma. Most of the children were playing in the living room. He killed Leonard Jr. when he shot him in the head in the kitchen. Then he shot his sister-in-law Alma. Then, as his mother lunged at him, he shot her once in the head and twice in the chest. He then killed David 11, Teresa 9, and Carol 13. James turned to the corner into the living room. One by one, James shot his remaining nieces and nephews. Anne 12, Leonard the 3rd, 17, Michael 16, Thomas 15, and John 4. Charity had been shot once in the chest, and the remaining victims were shot in the head and shot again to ensure they had died. The only sign of a struggle at the crime scene was the one overturned waste paper bin. The Butler County coroner theorized that Rupert had likely shot some of the victims more than once to prevent anyone escaping. The massacre was over in less than 5 minutes. After spending 3 hours in the house, James finally called the police and said, "There's been a shooting." He waited just inside the front door and waited for authorities to arrive. The murder shocked the town of Hamilton. Those who knew James did not think he was capable of violence, especially at the magnitude of this particular massacre. By all accounts, neighbours considered the Ruperts a nice family. James was arrested and charged that day with 11 counts of aggravated homicide. He refused to answer questions asked by the police and was very uncooperative. He made it clear he would plead insanity. County Prosecutor John Holcomb viewed the crime scene and stated that there was so much blood in the first floor, it was dripping through the floorboards into the basement. Rupert had fired a total of 35 rounds and all four weapons were recovered at the scene. All 11 victims were buried in Arlington Memorial Gardens in Cincinnati, Ohio. A year later, the house was opened to the public and all of its contents were auctioned off. It was then cleaned, recarpeted, and rented to a family new to the area whose members were unaware of the murders that had taken place there. The new family later left the house, claiming that they were hearing voices and other unexplained noises. Other families have moved in and out, and the house is still occupied. If you like that, then listen to our main show every Wednesday on all good podcast providers. It's Alive Alive, the really, really fake true crime horror podcast. All the guts and gore, none of the guilt. See you on Wednesdays.